Good day, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Accreditation Benchmarking Conference Call. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. Later, we'll conduct a question-and-answer session, and instructions will follow at that time. If you should need operator assistance during the conference, please press star then zero on your touch-tone telephone. As a reminder, this conference is being recorded. I would now like to introduce your host for today's conference, Mr. Matthew Wasserberger. Sir, you may begin the call.
Thank you. Good afternoon. My name is Matthew Wasserberger. I'm the manager of the accreditation program. This conference call was kind of a broad reach to a number of different chambers in certain, I guess, time frames of where their application stands. I know most of you are probably looking at an August submission date or possibly December. However, we did market the call at the Institute program, so we may have some chambers on that are new to the accreditation process or looking to submit an application in 2010. We have done these conference calls for about 2 years now. They kind of started out just as your basic, what is accreditation, and we've kind of moved on to focus on individual sections. Over the past, we've focused on communications and government affairs, and we're now focusing on the benchmarking section, which chambers have said is one of the most mystifying and difficult sections of the application, being that it's hard to truly figure out what our evaluators are looking for. So on the call today, I have three great chamber executives from the Kansas City area. They will hopefully share their insight as they went through the process and possibly give you some tips and hints on how to complete this section. So we'll start with the first half of the call, hearing from these chambers. On the end of the call, we will have a in-depth question and answer session where you can ask questions to myself or any of our three facilitators as well. I'd ask that as you kind of hear their presentations to take note of any questions that you have for a specific person, and if not, you can just answer some general questions or ask some general questions at the end of the conference call. Our three facilitators are Nancy Burns from the Lee Summit Chamber of Commerce in Missouri, Joyce Coker-Dreyer from the Olathe Chamber of Commerce in Olathe, Kansas, and Linda Leeper from the Shawnee Chamber of Commerce, which is in Kansas as well, all around the Kansas City area. So I will turn it over first to Nancy to hear how the Lee Summit Chamber went through the accreditation process and the benchmarking section. So, Nancy.
Good afternoon, everybody. We're not sure why Matthew asked us to do this, but since it was the most difficult, I think, for all of us, but we are happy to share what information we can with you and then answer any questions. He asked us first to kind of give an overview of ourselves and the chamber we're at. I've been doing chamber work since 1986, so been around and in the industry for a long time. Our chamber is part of the Kansas City metro area, as are my other two compadres here. And Lee Summit has about 930 members. We've been pretty continue about the same pace as we have the last couple of years. We've been seeing quite a bit of growth, so the economy has hurt us a little bit, but not nearly as much as in many of your areas and states. We've got 6 full-time staff and 2 part-time staff. Chamber staff, I'm trying to get everybody through Institute, which I have done. I'm on the Board of Regents out in Tucson, and I have my CCE, which I would also encourage you to look at doing. We're involved somewhat in regional activities because we are a two-state metro area, and so work with multiple chambers around the region, and we think that's very important. Since you said we could brag a little bit, we just were ranked number 3 in the Kansas City Business Journal for the size of chambers in the metro area behind Olathe, who is one of our speakers today, and then Kansas City is number 1. So we're very excited about that. We received the 4-star accreditation from the U.S. Chamber, up from the 3-star 5 years before, so we were excited, looking forward to that next time through when we can do as Olathe did and receive our 5-star. We were also awarded the Missouri Chamber of the Year Award last year from the Missouri State Chamber. So we have done lots of what we feel are very good things and received some great recognition. And part of what I think helps us get there is the planning that we do, certainly the accreditation process and the steps it takes you through, whether you've done it once or twice or three times. It really makes you stop and evaluate the value of your programs and what offerings you're making to your members. And so this will be our second year. Later this afternoon, I have a focus group. We do a series of 6 to 8 focus groups each summer to prepare us for our strategic planning this fall and get a lot of valuable input from our members. We just started that last year, and we had great success with that. So I think that helped us as we move into this benchmarking section. The first portion of that was on goal setting, and we had just gone through a 3-year strategic planning session the year before. So this part, I won't say, was easy for us. We had at least identified our 5 short-term goals and long-term goals at the time. We had made some progress through it, but it was very helpful to go through as you're trying to tell them what you've accomplished and how you are on track to accomplish your goals. It was helpful to us that we were in the beginning of that 3-year period so that we could say, you know, the problem that we had identified, what we had currently done, and what we were planning to achieve those. And really spelling that out in the questions that they ask you about each of those is very important. And providing backup information to show them some of the results, some of the materials you've used, the accomplishments of each of those goals was very helpful. And then the essay questions, again, I don't know if they've changed from when we have did ours 2 years ago, but the whole recommendation, if you've gone through an accreditation before, they give you a list of suggestions for what you need to do to improve, and we were able to go back and clearly state things that we have done to try to improve on each of those areas. Again, it's not always everything that they think. No offense, Matthew. Everything the U.S. Chamber thinks we should be doing may not apply and be something that in your local community you feel like you need to do, like have PACs or, you know, do some of those things. And so I don't know that we'll always get 100%, but we certainly move towards the recommendations that they give us and then give the accreditation program that feedback that they need from us to help help improve that process itself. And I've seen some of those changes take place over the years as I've been involved in accreditation with another chamber. So kudos to them for being open to those thoughts and suggestions. I think as far as how we've done that, we have we've used volunteers depending on the goal, depending on the essay question. We pull in specific volunteers and staff people to help us look at those and formulate how we want to respond to those, and I think that's key. We have a couple of very good writers on staff, and so they help draft some of those responses and make it very clear cut in how we should respond. I think our process this time was different from our initial time 5 or 6 years ago when we first went through accreditation after I came here. We had complete task force for each of the groups, and we didn't do that so much this time. We were more selective in what we what we asked the volunteers to do, and of course then ran it through exec committee and the board of directors for their input as well. So I will turn it over now and be happy to answer any questions, but I'll turn it over to Joyce and she can go from there.
Hi, greetings from Olathe, Kansas. I'm Joyce Coker Dreyer. That's a hyphenated name, not a screwy one. And I've been with the Olathe Chamber of Commerce for about 9 years. To familiarize you with a little bit with our community, Olathe is about 20 miles from Kansas City, and we're a city of about 128,000 people. We're about the fifth largest city in Kansas. Olathe, just so you'll know, is the site where three historic trails converged and where the cowboy boot was born, just in case you ever want to visit. We have a healthy, diverse commercial development, you know, retail, office, industrial, and we are still thriving, as Nancy said. We are, you know, we've slowed some because of the recession, but we're still thriving. A lot of our major projects that we have known were coming in or have been put on hold, but there's still room for a lot of optimism. So we're one of the fastest growing cities in the United States. And we, in fact, we often say that we are one of the fastest growing cities, thanks in large part to the economic development efforts of the chamber. And you probably say something similar about your chamber. We have 1,500 members, 1,500 member firms. We have about 3,000 member representatives. That number fluctuates depending on whether you're talking to me or whether you're talking to our membership development person. We have a staff of about 19 people, and we do economic development, CVB, advocacy, leadership. It's the whole thing. We got a 5-star accreditation, and we are so proud of it, and we have done a lot to market that. And we... just to kind of tell you how we did it, we organized, what we did was we selected a highly engaged member, actually a member of our board of directors, who understood the mission of the chamber and its programs. We asked that person to be the volunteer chair of the entire application process. And then we split our roster of leaders, primarily our board, but some others as well, into 9 subcommittees. And designated a chair for each one of those subcommittees. They met together as a group, and then they met together separately with the appropriate staff people. And then each subcommittee tackled one part of the application process. And the benchmarking section, as Nancy said, is probably, that's the one we did last. We thought it was probably the most complicated. It was the one we felt like we understood least. But and as we felt our way through it, I think we used our subcommittee a little less effectively than we did when we were working on the other 8 sections. But I think one difficulty we had was ascertaining the difference between program development section and the benchmarking section, because it felt in some ways like we were being repetitive. But we decided that the benchmarking section is by nature more quantitative. And so I think that's an important difference to remember. I think as an aside to that, too, it was the benchmarking section maybe yielded more value to us as a chamber going through that process than maybe any other part. The entire application process was very, very valuable. And just so you'll know, part of the benchmarking section of our application process was about 3/4 of an inch thick, not that I measured. And that does include, you know, attachments. But it was a lot of work, but it was very worthwhile. So as a caveat, in case you're just now starting your application process, it might be good for you to know, and maybe you've heard this already, that it's a significant investment of time. I would say, as the person on our staff who had probably the greatest burden for pulling it all together, it took a fourth to a third of a year for me to do it. And that was in addition to everything I always do. So I'm glad it's only every 5 years. But as I said, it was very, very worthwhile. A lot of the other people on staff, many volunteers, our board, everybody had buy-in, everybody had input, so it was a good deal. Okay. So just the internal process and how we measure our progress. We have a yearly business plan and a five-year strategic plan. We revisit those documents regularly, and we have in there very measurable objectives and goals, and that makes it easier when you're doing your benchmarking section. If those are, you know, what we emphasize is not what our staff did so much, not the internal processes, but the outcomes, you know, the specific measurable outcomes and how the value we brought to the community by doing thus and so, how we accomplished our mission. Just to kind of give you some very specific examples of the kind of statistics that we used, we did numbers of jobs we brought to Olathe, square footage of retail, office, and industry, and then we would even say how much, what the percentage of growth was from one year to another. We talked about total capital investment in commercial projects during each year or during the five-year period. We also mentioned what the assessed valuation of Olathe was over the course of those years and adjusted for inflation, of course. We talked about how some of our programs increased voting, you know, what the voter turnout was like, what per capita household income was like in terms of, you know, the prosperity of Olathe, to which, of course, chambers contribute. Talked about sales tax collected, transient guest tax figures, hotel nights, hotel occupancy, member referrals from our website and other sources, number of visits to websites. I think it's those really specific things that are really helpful, and we found they were most helpful and probably easier to read if you put them in a chart or a tab. After doing this, we decided we would make a 10-year comparison of how we were doing on some of those different things. The total assessed valuation of the city of Olathe, for example, has grown 205% in the last 10 years. And so we, because of our accreditation process, we actually extrapolated some of those figures, did it over 10 years, adjusted for inflation, and came up with some awesome figures, which we publicized and are still doing that. I'd be happy to share that with any of you who, you know, wanted to see it. Another thing that we included in the accreditation, I mean, the benchmarking section, is the survey of members, because, you know, obviously there are things that are more subjective that it's really hard to quantify with, you know, statistics. We asked, for example, what visitors' experiences were when they came to Olathe. We had a whole survey about that, about our communications with our members, about our board and the way it's organized, and that kind of thing. So we included surveys. And the other thing that we included in our application process that has really helped us track our progress and benchmark ourselves and where we are in our projects is that we have an accountability report. And we submit that quarterly to the board, and every department updates the section, and it reports on progress. And we actually attach a percentage, like a certain objective. It follows our business plan almost exactly. What was our objective and how close are we, like 93% close to having that accomplished? We also attach those percentage figures to the reaccreditation estimates that we provided. While you're doing the application, the benchmarking section, there are a number of things that you'll want to include: the strategic plan, the business plan. We included our accountability report. We included our surveys, and we also included an environmental scan. As Nancy said, you just want a lot of backup information. So just to kind of summarize, we benefited enormously from going through the process, and it was very time-consuming, and I thought, oh, my gosh, I've got to quit before the next one comes due. But in the end, it was really, really worthwhile, and we love our five stars. And I'd be happy to answer other questions or share anything that we've got with the rest of you later.
I guess I'm third in line. Good afternoon. I'm Linda Leeper, and I'm president of the Shawnee Chamber. And, again, we are one of the nine chambers serving the Johnson County side of the Kansas City metro area. We're the smallest, obviously. We are around 700 members. I always kind of round up, and we service about 1,400 representatives in the metro area. As you can see, competition is pretty tough here, not being kind of a mid-sized chamber. So we do have our challenges. The city of Shawnee is 61,000 population, but we've been more of a bedroom community for many, many years. And so one of our goals and objectives was really is, from the chamber standpoint and economic development, is to grow our commercial base to try to keep up with some of our neighboring cities. The Shawnee Chamber is over 60 years old and continues to be one of the largest business organizations in this in our part of the area. The Chamber does operate the Economic Development Council and a Visitors Bureau division under the Chamber Corporation. We're a smaller staff. We're six full-time staff. And I did get my IOM from Institute about 4 years ago and actually put achieving accreditation on my goal list after I attended my first session of Institute. And it took a while to get there, but we've got we're there. In terms of strategic planning and goals, our board of directors, we meet annually and look at our short-term, long-term goals and readdress our strategic, overall strategic plan. As Joyce and Nancy have said, the metro area is really a strong business base, primarily because we have a diversity of business sectors with Johnson County businesses primarily being more in the service area, but our job population growth and business has been phenomenal, actually, in our side of the metro area. And yes, even with the weak economy in this last year, we've felt a slight downturn, but still we have great, great opportunity in our area. Some of those projects, as Joyce said, are still progressing, but maybe not as quickly as they had been in the past. Business leaders in the Kansas City metro area are very strong and work together to collaborate for major initiatives. With that said, the competition is very apparent from a business and chamber standpoint, business member recruitment and community projects. And part of that is who leads, and we have lots of great leaders out there. Because of this, I believe we have a very high expectation and that we can set for us to achieve a four-star accreditation as a mid-sized chamber, I am very, very proud of what we have accomplished. With looking at the benchmarking session, and I think Matthew said it best, it was the most difficult section. And the other sections, and one thing please remember is that you have good relationships and neighbors that you can call on when you start your accreditation process. Olathe and another neighbor, Lenexen, was very helpful, could answer a lot of questions, and I really went to the U.S. Chamber website for the best practices, and that helped us in most of the sections, except for benchmarking. Since this was fairly new, and it really has a lot to do with evaluating your progress and your strategic goals, that there weren't as many sources there, so that in turn that probably made it more difficult. With the other sections of accreditation, our board of directors appointed a task force and a chair, which is a board member, to lead that. We had 30 individuals that worked on that accreditation task force that helped us through the process in each of the sections, except for benchmarking. And I pretty much took that for myself and with staff support to work through that. And that, in hindsight, probably would have been better to have a little more help with that, but it was a good exercise. It made you challenge and really examine what you had accomplished. So that was good. In the section, the final, after we did all the other sections, that's when we actually started tackling the benchmarking section. We had to go back and look at each of the other sections and make sure that we determined that properly in those numbers and results in each of those sections before we'd actually go to membership is one of the easiest to measure, but again, you always want to have 100% status and reaching your goal. And that was one of those ones we had to settle for a 91% at the time of our application. But by acknowledging this, and this is the exercise and this is what you learn, by acknowledging this, we immediately looked at some of the membership recruitment tools and updated them to better support our goal going forward. The structure, with the help of the membership, events, and program, and economic development staff, we pulled together the historical numbers for membership revenue, as Joy says, commercial assessment figures, and all the other data to support the essay questions. If we referred to a chart or attachment in the benchmarking section, we actually referred them back to the other sections rather than... And Olathe provides... and they said their section was thick. I don't want to scare some of you. My benchmark section was only 9 pages. So we actually, instead of repeating, we referred back. So if you don't have a large section, go in, be in. Accreditation is probably the biggest project that we have ever taken on, and being a first time, to make it, it was even harder to get our hands around the project. We found by appointing the task force, and we worked section at a time, and basically had a checkoff list as we went through to ensure that we would were meeting and completing the application to the level that we wanted to. A great deal of time. Both Nancy and Joy said it took a great deal of time. One of the things myself and my VP of events and programs, we tracked over 200 hours in the final submit process, whether it be proofing and printing and setting up 4 complete binders. And each of those binders are 5 inches thick. So it was a lot of handling and a lot of paperwork in that process. Make sure... Just tell you, if you have a smaller staff, make sure that you have one other dedicated, passionate staff individual who will be willing to work with you and make it happen, because that's really what you have to have. One of the things that we had to do to hit the minimum standard was to have an annual audit, which we did start that in 2004 and has continued each year, and obviously that has helped us overall. At the time we were doing this, we had 3 staff people in institute training. Of all those, all 3 have graduated and have their degree. So it was really a team effort to reach this goal. And for the first time, for a 4-star again, like the others, we're very, very proud of that. We do think each day as we go through our programs, our daily routines, is looking ahead to 2012 when we will really start to get ready to work on a reaccreditation for 2013, and it's not that far ahead. In terms of how do we promote it, how we market, we use the U.S. Chamber 4-star accreditation logo on every page of a website, letterhead, any direct mail pieces, anywhere. We want to tell people what we've accomplished and for our members and our leadership to be very proud of our organization. So I would turn it back to Matthew.
Well, thank you all for that wonderful presentation, clearly showing us kind of all aspects of how you went through this process and truly got it done in a section where at the time there was very little help and support on our part, just because it was a newer section and we truly are evaluating how you measure and benchmark yourselves. So it's kind of hard to do that. So at this time, I'd like to open it up to questions. If you have a specific question for one of our 3 facilitators, please address them. If not, the 4 of us will be happy to take any questions on benchmarking, marketing your accreditation, or any general accreditation questions. So with that, we were ready for question and answer.
Thank you. If you have a question at this time, please press *1 on your touch-tone telephone. Again, if you have a question, please press *1. Our first question comes from Kathleen Munson.
Thanks, everyone, for contributing your input with regards to this very, very important but comprehensive process. And I guess my questions are more general in nature. With regards to the questions in all of the sections, if you have a yes-no answer and you state, I mean, you answer to the affirmative, is it necessary or important that you do add additional support material to that answer? Maybe Matthew's the best one to address that.
I'll address it to start with, and then I think turn it over to one of the panelists. You do not need to show proof for every yes answer. It is the job of the accreditation evaluators to find that in the attachments that you provide. So the questions that we ask a yes or no answer for, we are going to determine that in your strategic plan or legislative agenda that you've attached in that specific section. If you do say no, it would be my recommendation to definitely tell us why you're not doing that, or if it is something that you're working on or something that your members just don't value. You can do that a number of ways. I know the new application is digital and allows the use of sticky notes, which I've seen that, and it's been very helpful to use that sticky note to say exactly why you put no in that section. However, there are 5 discretionary points that our evaluators can award, and these usually come from exceptional practices and programs that chambers do that are above and beyond just the basic attachments that we've asked for. So if you do say yes to a certain question and it is something that you think is exceptional that only a few chambers in this country do, and you are one of them, then I would recommend attaching additional information. I think some of our chambers on the call did that on their application and got the high scores that they did, the 4 and the 5 stars. So if one of you wanted to comment on that real quickly.
I would just say that I think the more that you can include, the better off you are as far as scoring. On the first one that we did, the first time we went through 5-plus years ago, we didn't include some things, and then some of the comments, this was before your time, Matthew, so I can say that, some of the comments that came back to us questioned a couple of those things, and so I think it's valuable to have that document or whatever it is in there just to show that you have it. And like he said, if you have a program that's special or something, having that collateral material only helps. Obviously, I think, and I'll let Olathe speak, but they had 2 huge notebooks. They got a 5-star accreditation.
Actually,
there is some correlation between that.
Volume was good.
Right. We this is Olathe again. We actually filled 3 notebooks, but Linda, I don't know that ours was that much bigger than yours. You had a beautiful presentation. But anyway, I did add an explanation to a lot of the yes answers. And part of the reason I did that is sometimes it's a yes, but. And mm-hmm. I always wanted to explain the but so that they knew where we were coming from. Sometimes it's not as clear cut as just yes or no.
Mm-hmm. And absolutely. On the no answers, we did that as well. We explained if there were something that we might get a feeling for that we should be doing, and yet we were checking no. We went on to explain why we were not doing it.
And this is Linda. We basically did the same thing. As you go through, and if you don't have any support documentation for something, yes or no, you felt like, how would they know what our program was, or and particularly the benchmarking, how would they know if we don't explain it? So I think it's really important that even though you don't require an answer on all of them, I think it's really important to put it in there.
Thank you, and I want you to know that for your next accreditation process, you will love the digital version. Thank you, Matthew.
Well, thank you for that.
Well, this is Linda with the Shawnee Chamber, and I have a staff person, Mary Taylor, that helped do some test work on that. And so we are definitely glad to see that because it was overwhelming with the paper notebooks.
All right. Do we have any additional questions?
Our next question comes from Arlen Flores.
Hi. On the governance section of the board orientation program, I have an agenda, of course, as part of the attachment, and then I've also attached the biggest part of the program, which would be the procedures, policies, various different policies. but I didn't put every single thing that's in the agenda in there. I've already got five attachments in that section. And I'm just wondering, you know, when the person reviews it, obviously they're going to look at the agenda and say, okay, well, she's, I would assume that they're going to think, okay, she's put almost everything in there. There's some that's not, because I'm just thinking it's going to be, I'd have 15 attachments. So I had a question on that, if that seemed right, to just put the major part, then that person would see the rest on the agenda. And also on the environmental scan, I've been having a really hard time finding somebody to do that. People that I've contacted so far are saying it's like $20,000. So if anybody has some people that they've used, that I might be able to get some information on that. Thank you.
All right. I guess I'll address the governance section and then turn it over for the environmental scan. With the board agenda, if it is something very mundane like bylaws, we're going to find that in those other sections, so no need to attach it. I would just worry about attaching things in regards to that you just find exceptional and want us to see. If it is something more routine, like an overview of the town, or no need to really include that. As for the environmental scan, they're not requirements. It is an additional document, so there is you are not required to have that environmental scan. But we do like to see one completed once every 2 years, I believe. So I can turn it over to the panel to see if you have anyone that you recommend for environmental scans or how you complete those.
Well, this is Olathe, and at the risk of incriminating myself, we did our own scan. We didn't hire anybody. We just simply went to different, you know, we went to the city, we went to the school district, you know, to get the things that we needed from them and just reacted to them and tried to point out what kind of an impact the chamber could have. We, you know, tried to identify both the strengths and weaknesses pertaining to different parts of the community and what kind of an impact the chamber could have. And so we created that ourselves, and I have a feeling most of us would be able to do that. But I don't know, maybe others have had some different experiences with that, like, I don't know. Linda, Nancy, did you do
this? This is Nancy, and we did the exact same thing. I'm very fortunate to have a staff person on here who also does legislative work and stuff, and he loves delving into these projects and having that. And he did the exact same thing. He drew from everybody else and put that document together for us. So whether or not you have a staff person, you probably have a volunteer or someone who really likes and enjoys to do that. And it's really accumulating all that information and pulling it together, you know, like Joyce said, and that's what we did. We did not hire anybody to do it.
And this is Linda with the Shawnee Chamber, and we're the same. We actually went to our Economic Development Division, which is a resource for a lot of data. We also have a county research group that you can access information through them. So we really just did it in-house. So maybe not to the level that it should be, but that's actually how we have done it. So we all three did it the same.
And I don't think it's the intent of the U.S. Chamber for you all to go out and spend big bucks to get something done professionally. At least I would hope that's not there.
No, it's not. The intent is just so that you have an idea of what your community looks like.
Right. And I think it's important that you show that you know your community, and that's what this does. It gives them the information that you have been able to gather and drawn from it.
Hope that help.
Yes, thank you.
All right.
Our next question comes from Mike Coley.
Hi. First, I just want to thank everybody for doing this call today. It's been very helpful. My question I want to direct to Linda and Shawnee, and that is, it's a very simple question. From the time you had mentally made up your decision that you're going to go through with the process to the time you finished, what were we looking at there?
Well, when I came back from my first year of institute, that was my goal, that we would get accredited. Then I needed additional help and staff. And then in 2004, when we did our first corporation audit, that was really the benchmark, and we'd say, okay, now we can start timing on that. So then it was a year later. So I can tell you probably close to 2 years in terms of I have everything in place. I've done the survey test to make sure that all my policies and procedures are to the level they need to be before we actually start the process. So even before we appointed the task force in March of 2007, and we turned in our application December 2007 and got accreditation in March of 2008. So that was an intense work period from March through December. But again, going back to the checklist, it took a while, and it took a year or two to make sure that we had everything up to level just to start that process. So if you've never done it before, long-term planning, I say it really is a two-year-plus project at the minimum. Is that scary?
Hello. My name is Roger Roberts, and I'm here with Mike Cully, and I'm the chair-elect of our chamber. So the question I have for you as a follow-up is me being the chair-elect and wanting Mike to get this done by the end of next year, if we have our retreat in the fall, do you think that is an overly ambitious schedule?
Chairmen usually are overly ambitious. and that's not a bad thing. It drives the professional staff to certain levels. I would just, it's a lot to ask, but obviously I think forming a task force and getting your board of directors and individuals sitting on that board also to become champions of this and take certain sections, because staff alone cannot do it. I'm convinced it has to be a larger effort in order to get there. But go through the checklist first and make sure you're in a position to start this. And everything, if you have all your policies and guidelines and strategic plan is in pretty good shape, short-term, long-term goals, then that's a possibility.
Yeah, and I think that's doable. But I think you have to get that commitment from your board folks to participate and assist, because the staff won't be able to do it all by themselves.
Right.
And I might add to that, this is Joyce with Aletha, that the U.S. Chamber staff, I found Matthew in particular, are really helpful when you have questions. Mm-hmm. And when we were going through the process, we actually were aiming for one deadline and missed it and had to wait for 3 months and finish it up and make the application a little bit later than we'd anticipated, just because I think it takes longer than you think it's going to take.
And, Mike, find somebody, in your area up there that can be a resource to you. And that is extremely helpful. And again, the benchmarking and the best practices that are listed on the U.S. Chamber website are very, very helpful.
Wow. Okay. Thank you very, very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Nancy Garner.
Hi, this is Nicole Norris, and I'm the chairman of our accreditation committee for this year. I'm a past chair of the Center Greater Chamber of Commerce in South Carolina, and I've got our chamber president, Greer Blackwelder, here. We'd like to ask a question about endorsing political candidates for office. Greer?
Matthew, in 2004, our last accreditation, we were four-star status, and I think one thing that held us back was the fact that we don't have a political action committee nor endorse candidates here at this chamber. In fact, it's in our bylaws that we do not do that. Is that going to be held against chambers this
Matthew, time? Might I address that since we don't have a pact either?
Sure, yes.
Yeah. This is Joyce again from Olathe. We are like you. We don't do PACs, and by policy, we don't endorse candidates, and there are some really good reasons for that. We just explained why, and, it didn't seem to be held against us since we went ahead and got 5 stars. But I think sometimes there are really good reasons not to go down that road.
And just to reiterate, when Joyce went through it, we did score that question. And you just had to make up for it in different sections. And I would encourage you to do that as well, or explain why you're not doing it and highlight some of the other ways that your government affairs program is successful. However, our board constantly reviews this application to make sure that there are no unrealistic expectations set on chambers of commerce And we no longer score the PAC and the candidate endorsement questions. They are additional points. As the U.S. Chamber, of course, will always encourage you to do those. You'll see those on our recommendations, but it's no longer scored.
Okay. Thank you so much, Matthew and Joyce.
And that's really great to know, because that's one of the things I have complained to the U.S. Chamber board members about before, because I did feel like in the past that had been scored heavily. And so, Matthew, I'm delighted to hear that, because from a local chamber's perspective, it's very hard to be in that position where you're trying to endorse. So I'm very happy about that.
I'm glad to hear that, too, because I thought that was a reason that we might be held back,
mm-hmm.
also because we do not have a PAC and our bylaws do not allow it. So that's good news.
Right. And then that's where that benchmarking section comes in handy. We do look at your feedback. So if you have any recommendations for us, we will definitely see that in the last two questions of the benchmarking section. So that's kind of where the online application came from, the strong opinions of our applicants to move in that way, and we have. So we listen to your feedback, and we try and improve this program every year.
Fantastic.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. At this time, I'm showing no further questions.
Does anyone else feel free to answer or ask a question? We do have 10 more minutes.
I would just say, this is Nancy from Lee Summit, and I would just say, and I'm sure the other two would agree, that if you all have any questions as you go through that process, Matthew has our contact information. We are listed in the big chamber book, and I would certainly welcome any questions from you all, and be available to be whatever assistance I could be.
Thank you. We do have a follow-up question from Kathleen Munson.
Just one last question with regards to all the sections. The supplementary information section, is it important that be, I guess, covered in each section, even though you feel that you've addressed all of the questions in the section itself?
No, it's not. This, again, was a thing that we picked up from the benchmarking section with the ways to improve the application, is that each section we've added a supplementary page where you can put anything you want. This more came out of the idea that some of the programs that you do don't really fit into each individual section or the questions that we ask. So we know there are certain chambers that focus very heavily on economic development or community development, and there aren't quite as many questions in the application to highlight that. So what we've done is add the supplementary page at the end of each section where you can highlight those programs that you do, that are a major component of your chamber, that you didn't feel got the space in the application to truly tell your story. And that's what they're there for, not for every section to be filled out, but for the, two, three, maybe five things that you do that just didn't feel got enough, spotlight in this process.
Great. Thank you.
Your next question comes from Sammy Glascott.
Hi, yes. I was wondering, we've already actually been accredited. We've gone through the process once, the Anchorage Chamber of Commerce here in Alaska. I'm wondering if, when the team evaluates our next accreditation application, if they'll look back at that first application.
Actually, we treat each application on its own. So we are, because 5 years is a very long time in the chamber industry, you can see new executives, brand new boards come in. We definitely try and look back at just the past 5 years and, in specific, the past 18 months. So we ask that each question, essay question, or documents that you provide be fairly recent, from the last 18 months. And then very rarely do we look back at your last accreditation. However, the benchmarking section does have a question that asks what you've done based on our recommendations, what you've done in the past 5 years to improve. We do look at that, and we do look at some of the general statistics to see if your chamber's grown in the past 5 years or, you know, new membership and some of the great things that that just come out from the last accreditation to this one. But by no means are we going to be pulling up the old application and looking at it. Each application is treated as its own, just as the basis of this next round.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Ralph Gregory.
Thank you. Would it be fair to characterize the benchmarking section as a scorecard from an existing plan, or is that too simplistic?
I think it's kind of a fair assumption. I want to hear what the other facilitators have to say on that one.
I think that that's kind of how we were able to tell the difference between the program development part of the application and the benchmarking section, is that it is more of a scorecard, but I don't know that it's that only, but that's a good way of looking at it as opposed to the program development part, I think.
If it's not that only, what would be in addition to that? Now,
well,
this assumes it has, that there is a plan.
Right. It might be that, well, what we did, I mean, you know, it's kind of, well, like all scorecards, your strategic plan and your business plan have to be in effect and be in good shape, and your scorecard has to follow those two documents. And so when I said it's more than that, I think it's also explaining those other two documents that guide the scorecard, perhaps, if that makes any sense. It's been a while it's been, 2 years since we worked on this, so I'm kind of forgetting. But I still think the scorecard perspective is kind of a good way of looking at it.
Ralph, this is Linda with the Chamber. The only thing I add, it's a good explanation, but it sounds so simple, and it's such a challenging section to do because it really does make you analyze everything. And we always like to, during the other sections, we talk about the great things and all the programs, and we pretty much focus on everything 100% positive. I think the benchmarking makes you really think about your accomplishments and then focus on it and figure out what you need to do in order to meet those short-term or long-term goals. So I think it's a whole analysis process. You got a score, but you actually have to explain every single step along the way on that.
Would it be fair then, or an elaboration perhaps, to say a strategic plan is visionary, multi-year, 3 to 5 year, and then the business plan is yearly, using
that
as the takeoff plan?
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, the benchmarking kind of pulls back perhaps to a multi-year assessment with its faithfulness to the strategic plan.
Matthew, isn't it true that I can't remember for sure, but I think the benchmarking section pertains to the five top short-term and the five top long-term goals. Isn't that correct? More so than with the entire scope of Chamber program.
Yes. Yeah, that is correct. So it does, the first essay question makes you about kind of provide an analysis of your business plan. And it is kind of that scorecard. We do want to see how close you did accomplish those goals this year that you set out. You'd probably be evaluating 2008 business plan, and then we would see how close you met to those goals, as well as providing that additional analysis. We ask additional follow-up questions like what were the roadblocks, and then that second essay question is the 3 to 5 year strategic plan that asks the exact same question.
But here's where I'm having some difficulty. If you have a 3 to 5 year strategic plan, something that was done 3, 4, 5 years ago might be ruling from the grave, so to speak. Where is the allowance for course corrections?
Our evaluators do allow for that. We don't exactly look in this section for did you achieve 100% of your goal. We are actually looking at the process of how you evaluate these goals, the quantitative data that you use, and that you can see Much like Joyce pulled out, that she had so much raw data that she could pull and see that her programs were doing this in the area, and that maybe they didn't reach the goal that she had set. Maybe they came 50% short, or maybe just a few percentage points short. But it gave her chamber the idea, that general idea of where they are, and it gave our evaluators a look at how effective their programming is, how their board can sit together, come up with a strategic plan, and their overall organization, from the volunteers to the staff to the chamber executive, can kind of work out and hammer everything home and get pretty close to 100% of everything accomplished over the past year and the past 3 to 5 years.
I think it's important, too, as we all know, we can have the best laid plans, but that doesn't mean they're going to happen, and things change, and so some of your goals change. I think it's important to point out when that happens and what you do to that kind of take a step back and reevaluate things and move forward. And I think as long as you're explaining that process, if that's happened, I think that's another thing they're looking for.
Thank you.
Thank you. I'm showing no further questions.
All right. And it looks like it is 4 o'clock Eastern time. So we can wrap it up. Again, I will be happy to take any questions after this call. I believe most of you have my contact information from the invitations here. I know our panelists have said that they'll take your calls as well. I want to be the first to thank Nancy, Joyce, and Linda. You've been a phenomenal help. This is one of the most difficult sections, and I think you definitely provided some guidance to score better, and so maybe we'll see some more stronger chambers come out, some better benchmarking and analysis of some short and long-term goals. So, again, thank you so much for your help on this call.
Thank you.
Good luck, everybody.
Thank you. Good luck.
And I believe that's it. So thank you again.
Thank you, Matthew.
Bye-bye.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for participating in today's conference. This does conclude the program. You may now disconnect.